Amen.
The name of this song is Arms of Love. And so I just, Andy, you're talking about being in the storms, but we all are reminded of whose arms we are in love. So just remember that, especially all these kids. God's got us in his arms.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Good morning and welcome to Versailles Baptist Church. It's good to see your faces this morning. I hope you've had a great week, and especially a great week in the Lord. If you have your bulletins this morning, just a few announcements and one that's not in the bulletin, but don't forget about Wednesday night Bible study at 6 o'clock. And beginning August 3rd, the church office will be open on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays only. Same time, though, 8:30 to 12. That will begin this week. So keep that in mind. And if you have any announcements or any prayer needs, concerns that you would like placed in the bulletin, be sure to have them in by Tuesday. Okay? And a phone tree did go out on this, so hopefully everyone got it, that those you who are here and those that are not here this morning. Also, there's a phone tree went out concerning donations, and I'll read what Crystal has here. We have a special basket up here beside the pulpit, and that's right here. And one in the annex. If anyone would like to make a monetary donation towards supplies for our teachers and school administrators who attend Versailles Baptist Church. Schools are needing a lot more supplies this year due to the COVID-19 to keep everyone safe so that we can help as well. So one basket here and one in the back. If you can help and can't prepare for that this morning, or you can mail it in. Just make sure you put on there for the school supplies. And they start back this Wednesday, right? On the 5th.
And the checks are written
to Versailles Baptist. Yeah, the checks are written to Versailles Baptist Church, but in the memo part, put for school supplies. And Crystal is the coordinator for this for us. Appreciate you doing that. Any other announcements before we go forward? If not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. It is a wonderful day that we can come together in your name. We thank you for this facility. We thank you for the people gathered here this morning. We thank you for those who are listening. And we pray, Lord, that we will all be blessed by your presence wherever we are and wherever we're going. And Lord, we know that you're with us always. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that works in our lives each day, preparing us for this day. As we read and we study your word, we do our devotions with you daily, that we better understand our life and how we have a purpose to serve and to help others in need. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're a caring and loving God, provider of all things. And Lord, you're in control of all things. And we can trust you. We can come to you. And we can bring our needs and our concerns to you anytime. Lord, bless this service and those listening. And Lord, keep us safe and in your care. Christ's name I pray. Amen. At this time, we will have our reading of Scripture.
The Scripture reading for today is Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 and 2. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing.
All right. Okay, our scripture reading was Eliza Monroe this morning, and that was Psalms 100, 1 and 2, all familiar to us. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into Him with joyful singing. And that's what we come together to do. At this time, we want to look at our praise reports and prayer needs, concerns. I have written a couple down here on my bulletin, and there are others listed here as well in our program, our bulletin. Yesterday, my dear friend and Brenda's and our family, family of Rick McCall, I went to Bible college with him, served with him a few years while we was in Florida, became dear friends and kept in contact over the years. And he passed away this past week, and they did a graveside because of the COVID-19, family only, but we'll do a celebration later. So we want to lift up the family of Rick McCall. Kim is his wife, and they have a daughter named Ree and son Chris. So let's lift up them and keep them in our prayers. Also, Junior Powell, sister-in-law, Hilda Powell, having surgery this week. Is that right? And we want to lift her up in our prayers as well. And looking at the bulletin there, there's others, families who have lost loved ones and services just recently. So keep those in your prayers as well. Also, in our praise, anyone have a special praise or anything? In your bulletin, Don Scott sent us a notice about the red zone and so forth. You can read that. There's a video about the camp and so forth and their needs and concerns, and keep them in our prayers as well. Also, on the birthdays, they're there in your bulletin and anniversaries. So if you have a chance this week, you let those people know. Happy more. Wish them a happy birthday and their anniversaries as well.
I have a praise.
Yes.
Eric's been attending here, and Steve has been visiting the other one.
Uh-huh.
And I told Eric, I thought it was because we got out early. And I asked him, I said, Eric, I said, why aren't you going with your dad? Why are you coming here? And he said, I love this church.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Hey, yeah. Well, there's no place like Versailles Baptist Church, right? Loving people, caring, and we reach out to help and do ministry for the kingdom of God. That's exactly what we do. All right, let's go. If you have any unspoken requests, or pray. Okay.
Pastor,
yes.
But also Autumn Schmaltz getting the scholarship from the Brotherhood.
Yes. Yes. In your bulletin as well, it shows those that received the Brotherhood scholarship this year. So Autumn Schmaltz was one of those, so from our church. So that's great. There were several given out this year. So congratulations to Autumn. And also, we need to lift up our school, who is restarting this week, and other schools may be starting this week, not only here in our area, but other areas in our nation and so forth. So let's definitely keep our students and our staff, our teachers and administrators, and all of those in our prayers, especially this week. Let us pray. Father God, again we come to you, lifting up the name of Jesus. We thank you, that, Lord, that we have praises to share. We have prayer concerns that we can lift up to you. And they are very dear to our hearts, and we know that they are yours because, Lord, we're coming to you, lifting them up in the name of Jesus for your blessing, for your healing, for your special touch. Always at the right time, and in each need, Lord, you will meet according to your will. Bless this service continually, and each one here and those listening again. And Lord, we just know that because of your presence in this place, and your Holy Spirit that is always active and working in our lives, Lord, we'll continue to encourage us and build our faith and our trust in you by reading your words, studying it, and just meditating upon it. Lord, helps us, Lord, each day to know who you are and how you're always with us, and you will provide, protect us, your church, your people, people in the world who believe and trust in you, Lord, and those that don't. Maybe the message today or something that they hear about you will cause them to want to receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen. At this time, Becca Moore will come and provide our special music for us this morning. Thank you, Becca, for sharing that special, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Isaiah again, chapter 55 this morning. In your bulletin, it says 6 through 13, but we're going to make this a two-part message, and this morning just be reading from verse 6 through verse 9 and share the remainder part of this scripture next Sunday. There's a lot in here for us to understand, comprehend, and we want to give it a due time to be able to explore this passage of Scripture. So, looking at Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6, title of this morning is God's the Free Will or the Free Offer of Grace. God's Free Offer of Grace. So beginning with verse 6, which says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So looking at this scripture this morning, you know, we've covered several different chapters and verses in Isaiah over the weeks. And here, Isaiah is offering from God to the people of Israel and to us as well, mercy and grace. And when we look at this, after the call to come and receive God's satisfying salvation free of charge, that's how God offers it, this passage right here instructs us to come in repentance to. He's offering repentance to Israel, the nation. And he offers that to us today, the whole world as well. So we are called to repent of doing things our way, because God's ways and our ways are immeasurably different. Would you agree with me this morning? God's ways is a lot different than ours. And God's ways are always the best ways. So those who come to the Lord in repentance, ready to live God's way, that find, according to what verse 7 says, he will abundantly pardon. That means wholeheartedly he would pardon the person who comes to him for repentance. So we all need God's forgiveness, we all need his grace, and we all need new life. And that's what God is offering here, new life in Christ. So, although such transformation and its meaning of eternal are beyond our comprehension, you know, we don't understand everything about God's Word, but it's here for us to read and to grasp and to meditate upon, and we will better understand it. We won't ever understand everything, but we know enough that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he forgives us of our sins, and the Bible instruction tells us how we are to live our life. So it's not beyond God's intent or ability. He will forgive those who come. That's what verse 7 says. And so let's look at what God brings about his purpose, how he brings about his purpose in life and in our lives, by his wonderful working word, the Bible. So first of all, verse 6 and 7 talks about the call to seek God and repent. So in verse 6, it says that we're exalted to embrace God's salvation when we sense his nearness. And we know that we feel God's nearness sometimes more than we do other times. Here in verse 7, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Now, God is not obligated to just come to us, we snap our fingers and things like that. God works in those lives who are closest to Him, who will lean upon Him and call upon Him and stay with Him through the hard times and the good times, just not when things are good. And that's why God said, you know, seek me while I can may be found. Not just when we say, okay, God, I need you right now. And call upon Him while He is near. No, His presence is always with us. But He's not obligated to just, if we snap our fingers, to come to our aid right then, if we're not staying with Him and studying His Word and praying constantly and daily for His presence in our life. So, though salvation is a free gift, God must be sought while one is under the conviction of the power of God if salvation is to be received. And that's what Isaiah is referring to right here in verse 6. So, if not, a person either drifts away from God, raises a barrier, or hardens one's heart. And that is not good when those things happen in a person's lives. So mankind is commanded, therefore, to seek Him while He is near. And right now, in our nation and in our world today, you know, we need God the most, don't we? We really need Him. And we need to draw near to Him and call upon Him daily. So the Lord has come near man, not only in the work of the servant, but also in Isaiah's preaching of the Word. So it is good. It is a need to hear the Word proclaimed. In the synagogues and in the New Testament, they gathered and the Scriptures would be read. The person would sit and the other people would stand around and they would listen to the Word being read. And just by hearing the Word read, they would become under conviction and repent of their sins because it touched their hearts in such a way they realized that they needed to repent of their sins. And the Word of God is so powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to do that when the heart is ready. And that's why verse 6 is so important for us, to seek the Lord and to call upon His name while He is near, when our heart is ready and prepared to receive the blessings of God. So, when we, what you and I seek is the presence of God and the way of the Lord in our life. That's what we need to do each day. Seek His presence. We need to seek or sought after His character, His gifts, His ways. For God longs to build these virtues in our life. These are the things that we need to mimic of God. All of these, His presence, His character, His gifts, His ways, those needs to be a part of our life. And then when people see you, they will say, hey, that person been with the Lord. I can see the presence of the Lord in their life. So it's a call to start life over again under God's leadership. And that's what Isaiah is calling the nation to do. You had a great beginning. God has blessed you and been with you, but you've drifted, and therefore draw back near to God. Come back to Him and call upon Him, and He will hear you. So He is ready to forgive. He's ready to clean our slate. He will do that and give a new page on which to write a new history on. See, He wrote new history in the lives of the people of Israel on a regular basis as they became more obedient to Him. And as we become more obedient to Him, we have a new beginning and we can write a new history on the pages of our life when we trust Him in that way. So we are commanded to do so before our day of grace runs out. And to support this, if you want to, turn over to Zephaniah. And I want to read three verses here. Zephaniah chapter 2. Now that's it's between Habakkuk and Haggai, if you know where those are. And there's only three chapters in Zephaniah. But if you want to turn there with me, Zephaniah chapter 2, I want to read verse 1. But my key verse this morning is verse 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. And then Zephaniah says, yes, gather, O nation without shame. And then verse 2, before the decree takes effect, the day passes like chaff. Before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. I'm going to repeat that again. Then he says, in verse 3, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinance. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Prepare your, perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So one of these days that is coming. The wicked in this earth who will not heed the ordinances or the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a payday someday. And the righteous, you know, we live by faith. We trust him. We may not understand everything, but we trust God with our lives. See, anyone in a spiritual need must seize what Isaiah is saying here, the opportunity his presence and his conviction offers. And talking about the Holy Spirit who does the convicting in our hearts. So, I'm going to say the fire of God presence will either melt the heart or it will harden it. It's not good to harden the heart when God comes near. And that's why it's so important to heed what verse 6 says. Now, in verse 7 it tells us that God is found by repentance. Repentance is very important. Now, we may know a lot about God. We may know a lot about God's Word. But it's having that personal relationship with Him that counts. You know, we might know a lot of things about a lot of things in this world. But the knowing Christ is to find Him through repentance. Listen to verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. God will have compassion on the repentant. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the call is to start life over again with God. It's kind of like a renewal or a rededication. Or rededicating one's life. It's a renewal, or starting over. You know, we have a beginning, and then some kind, we see in this case, Israel had drifted and so forth. And Isaiah is offering the people, by God's grace and mercy, to come back, rekindle what God has started in your life. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says that God will continue to do his work in our lives until he comes again. And that's as we stay near to him, as we draw near to him and call upon his holy name. So, what it takes to seek the Lord is to turn away from sin and one's own way of thinking. Because, you know, our thinking is not the same as God's way. So the Lord is found when turning away from one's own way. So forsaking is the only side of true repentance. Confess or repent of our ways. The other side, or the other turning point of this, is to God, which implies the change of our mind, our purpose, and our conduct. And see, all those things need to be changed. We need to be thinking like God thinks, not thinking the way our way, because our mind, our purpose, and our conduct needs to match Christ. So life focused on earthly things need to be focused on godly things. Growing up on a farm, or being around a farm when I was growing up, taught me a lot of good things about life and about habits as well. And I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message, the thought of pigs and sheep. Now, I don't know that much about sheep, raising sheep, because I wasn't around sheep that much, but I do know people that did, and they gave me a lot of insights, and I read a lot about sheep, and God compares Christians to sheep as well. But when you think about a sheep, they pretty well like cleanliness, right? And they will avoid a mud hole at all costs. And if they get in a mud hole, they try anyway to get out. But you take a pig, now he will go out of his way to find a mud hole. And he will grunt with satisfaction once he gets in that hole, right? And if you try to pull him out, he will squeal. And I've got in trouble doing that, trying to pull him out, and here comes the mama on the little ones, you know, because you don't protect the young. So we had to be careful about that. So by nature, without the convicting work of God's Spirit, a sinner is like a pig, which seeks evil or our temptation, has no desire to be delivered from sin. And the follower of Christ, however, is compared in the Bible to a sheep. That's why I use sheep, because we're compared to sheep. He should never be found in the mud of sin, because that does not resemble a Christian. So, it is sad when many Christians or Christ's sheep do fall into sin, but no born-again Christian will ever be comfortable in such a place. And that's what Isaiah is reminding Israel right here, to where they started, their beginning with Christ, with God. In Psalms 32:3, King David said, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long." Let me say that again. Psalms 32:3, David said, King David, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long." Now, when he kept silent, he ignored God. He waddled around in his old ways, self ways, and so forth. He was miserable. He kept silent. But when he confessed, or when he owned up to his shortcomings, then he found peace. He found that comfort. He found that closeness to God. And we too can do that as well. So he found that the Lord was ready to provide forgiveness and relieve him when he confessed his sin. And you can read on further in verse 5 what David did. And the same is for us. The way back to God begins with a broken heart, a contrite heart, a heart willing to give in to God. Now, let's look at verses 8 and 9 quickly. The call to God's ways and thoughts. So looking at verse 8, God calls on people to leave their wicked ways and fallen thoughts and follow God's thoughts and ways. Listen to what verse 8 says. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares or says the Lord." So ways and thoughts are repeated from verse 7. You say, now we're in verse 8, but it's repeated from verse 7, where it proclaims what is wrong with man's ways and man's thoughts. So man's ways and thoughts seem so right to us sometimes, right? Until we find out differently when we read God's Word, or when we're actually convicted by God's Holy Spirit. But man's ways and thoughts are not God's ways and thoughts. And Isaiah makes that very clear, very plain. And we as Christians should know that. And we should follow God's command. So both cannot be correct, our ways and God's ways. So only God's ways are the best ways and always the correct ways. But our ways and thoughts have been perverted originally by sin. And we know where sin began. Back in Genesis, early in Genesis, where man fell from the grace of God into sin. So only as we turn to God and His mercy can we ever counter the way have inner peace. Because think about it. Our thoughts should be only directed by God. So God instructs us to turn from our sinful ways and thoughts, and I would say throw in patterns, the habits, the things that we do, because they are not His ways or His thoughts. So guess what? God is great. God is good. But it's dangerous to think fallen man knows God's mind. See, God's will, God's intentions outside of the biblical revelation, you know, we need to be on the same page with Him. So the Bible says that we are to fear God, not be afraid of God, but to fear God and recognize that His ways are not always our ways. So He revealed Himself to us in Jesus, and He revealed Himself in how He moved and He worked through the lives and stories of those recorded here in the Scriptures. In Hebrews, it says, these witnesses are these the ones of old, talking about in the Old Testament, are there as an example for us. And some of the things are for us to follow, and the evil ways and the ways that they went or moved away or strayed away from God, we're not to follow. So we are to follow God's ways and His thoughts, according to Isaiah. So He has revealed Himself exhaustively here in the Scriptures. He hasn't, you know, ceased to work in mysterious ways, and He still works in mysterious ways, in ways that we don't always comprehend or understand. But God's ways are always the best ways. And that's why we must surrender to Him, obey His Spirit, His Word, if we are to follow and be obedient to Him. So, He is greater than we can think imaginable of His Word, you know, if we'll follow Him. Look at verse 9, which makes what I would say vividly striking comparison between God and man. Here in verse 9 it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Mankind's ways are one pattern of behavior, and those ways must be changed if one is to live like God. So, a purposed belief in God without being changed into thinking and living like God is really rejection of God. And that is what God is reminding Isaiah here. You have come to the point you rejected God rather than accepting God and His protection over your life. So we do not change our ways and thoughts into His ways and thoughts by living independently of Him. Have you ever wondered how high the heavens are above the earth? You ever thought about that? You know, when I worked at the University of Tennessee Space Institute, we had a high-powered scope, and we could look way high into the galaxies and so forth, and it was amazing what you could see. I mean, it went on and on and on, observatory. And you're looking through that, you could see stars, you know, much bigger than what they appear. So I often wonder, how far out? We often think up, but it's out, into the galaxies in the universe. How high, how far, you know, is the heavens? Well, in not long ago, a new galaxy was discovered that 17 billion light years away. Now, I can't fathom that. Can you? 17 billion light years away. Now, according to verse 9, the heavens are much higher than the earth. Might be closer than what we think, but according to the scripture, much higher than the earth. So God's plan is something people would have never dreamed of. How awesome is the Word of God that tells us about mankind, that tells us about His creation, that tells us everything that we need to know, especially about Him, how great He is. How marvelous and wonderful and righteous and holy God is. And He placed us right in the middle of all of this for us to behold and enjoy. And we get caught up too much in nature and in creation itself when we should be caught up in God, in His Word. And we can imagine, because everything is a mystic to us, the creation and galaxies and the stars and the moon and all of the things that we see. But there's nothing in comparison to the One who created all of these things. We get carried away with the methods and objects of life when we should be concentrating our whole heart and soul upon the Creator of all of these things. And that's why Isaiah is tenderly pleading with the people of Israel, as well as us, because the Word of God is written for us as well. So as you talk things over with God, confess to Him that He sees and knows things that you don't see and you don't know. Now, He'll help you understand it much better if you need to know. Now, if you don't need to know, then it's God's ways, it's not our ways. We'll better understand it one of these days when we see Him face to face, and I'm sure that you have a lot of questions then, and God will answer those. Right now, we need to concentrate on our relationship with Him. And then say to Him, Your will be done not only on earth as it is in heaven, but let it be in my life. Let Your will be in my life. That's what Jesus prayed. Not my will, but Your will be done, Lord, in my life. And that's the same prayer that we need to be praying as well. So, because God is so far above us in our wisdom, in our knowledge, it is remarkable that we are able to understand Him at all. Isn't it? But that's the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. The closer we stay to Him, the better we better understand. So, yet in His grace, He has provided the written Holy Scriptures to tell us how to live and how to die. Years ago, I was talking to a man, and his mother was very ill, and he had an opportunity to talk with her. And she told him that the religion or the denomination that I've been part of all my years is good to live by, but not good to die by. Now, I got thinking about that. Well, it's not about religion, and it's not about a denomination. What I live by, what we need to focus on, is the Word of God. Now, when you focus on the Word of God and God's goodness and mercy, it's good to live by and it's good to die by, right? So that's where we can be disappointed in this life if we're depending upon denominations or religion. And there's only one thing that gets us heaven, that's Jesus Christ. Being a Christian and believing in Jesus Christ. So he made the way of salvation unmistakably plain so that no one has an excuse for receiving Jesus Christ, the free gift of eternal life. Now, when we consider these deep truths, we must confess that they are far beyond our limited ability to comprehend. We just trust in faith and trust Him with our life. Abraham Lincoln long ago said, "I have felt God's hand upon me in the great trials and submitted to His guidance. I trust that as He shall further open the way, I will be ready to walk therein, relying on His help and trusting His goodness and His wisdom." Wow. We too need to adjust our lives to God's ways, right? And never to ourselves. Of course, we know Abraham Lincoln's life was cut short because he was assassinated at the age of 56. But for him to make a statement like this, all of the things that he accomplished, he gave God credit. If you read the history of Abraham Lincoln and his autobiography and so forth, you understand that he back then, and that's when you look back on when he was born and when he died, that's over 160 years ago, right? So you think if it was good enough for him back then and make those kind of statements, that's the way we should live and pattern our lives. A man that was placed in the office to serve the nation, he's trusted God to lead him, give him guidance, so that he could be the leader of a nation in which we live in today. But it all happened because of Jesus Christ. We trust in Him, in His ways and not our ways, and His thoughts and not our thoughts. We'll arrive at His destination at His timing. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we praise You. We thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your presence. And Lord, we thank You that You do give us godly instructions about our ways and Your ways and our thoughts and Your thoughts. And Lord, as we look at the Scripture, and as we read it and study it, and we rely upon You, and we draw near to You, and we call upon You, Lord, You will forgive us of our sins. You will come near to us and help us make good decisions, right decisions for our life as we live out our life as You see fit. Lord, we thank You for each one here today, and we thank You for those listening today as well. And we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit, in the ways that You work, You will tenderize our hearts, humble us, May we have contrite hearts as we read about David. He came to his senses. The spiritual side of him and who you spoke to, a man after God's own heart, realized he was nothing without you. We all are nothing without you, Lord. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, willing to die on the cross for our sins, that we too may have eternal life. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, which is Just As I Am. May we stand as we sing. Again, thank you for being here this morning. And don't forget about the announcements that we mentioned. Again, office hours will be changing this coming week. Carol and I will be in office. She will be in office on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. So Wednesdays and Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, and then Wednesday and Friday, the office will be closed. So think about that, and if you have an announcement or anything you want placed in the bulletin, be sure to have that in on Tuesday. Any other announcements anybody has before we close? Yeah. Okay. That is coming up the coast, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. On the East Coast, yeah. Any other prayer needs, concerns before we close? And about the donation that we mentioned earlier, one for the school supplies, their basket here at the front by the pulpit, and one in the back. And the offering plate for your offering is here as well. Thank you again for coming, and have a great week in the Lord. And when you leave here, take Jesus with you, right? Yes. All right. As we go to the Lord in prayer, Bob Dixon, would you close us, please?